Okay, everybody. Today's daf is daf Ches, and we're going to start from the bottom of Zayin Amid Beis. And as Ed told us a moment ago, we're going to be learning a lot of geometry today, but it's very, very simple geometry. We're going to start from seven lines from the bottom of the Amid. Omer Reb Yochanan, Sukkah Ho Asuya Kikivshan, a sukkah that is manufactured, that is put together like a kivshan. Kivshan normally means an oven or a furnace, but for our purposes, the important thing is, says Rashi, that it's agula. It's a circular structure as opposed to a square or rectangular structure. Mind you, two lines earlier we had acherim oimrim, that if you have a circular sukkah, it's posel, lefi she'en lo zovios, because it doesn't have any corners. However, Rashi immediately points out that Rabbi Yochanan apparently respectfully disagrees, and he holds that it is a good sukkah after all. Although the Acherim happens to be a Tana, and Rabbi Yochanan happens to be an Amoira, apparently Rabbi Yochanan felt that this Tana Acherim, that this is the minority opinion and not the majority opinion. So now we have a sukkah which is constructed in a circular fashion. So we remember that Rebbe said that the size of a sukkah has to be 4 amos by 4 amos. What the Gemara is going to now deal with is what is the minimum shear that we need for a circular sukkah. So says the Gemara, sukkah asuya kikivshan im yesh behekefa. Hekefa means its circumference. If in the circumference yesh kedei leishibuch chavdal b'nei adam, enough room for 24 people to sit in a circle, kasher, then it's kosher. V'imlav psula. But if not, it's posel. So therefore, the outer edge of the sukkah, you see the picture over here. You see all the circle has such a double circle. So you have the gray part, the shaded part is where the people are sitting. Those people that are sitting are 24 in number, and that is the size of a kosher sukkah. Okay, says Yimar Kiman Kerevi. Oh, Shkoyach, we see a beautiful picture that is shown to us by Ed. Thank you very much, Ed. So now the question is asking, Mor is asking, is Kiman Kerevi, does this go according to Revi? The Omer called Sukkah She'en Ba Arba Amis Al Arba Amis Psula. If you recall, we had three minimum sizes of a sukkah. The size that we've always been quoting has been that of Beis Shammai, Kedei Roshei Verubai V'Shulchanai, which is 7 Tvachim. Beis Hillel disagrees and holds you don't even need the Shulchanai. Roshei Verubai is enough, which presumably would be 6 Tvachim. And the largest minimum size of Bashir we had was Rebbe that said 4 Amos and 4 Amos. Now the question is, does this halacha of Rabbi Yochanan, of the 24 people, does this stim with Rebbe, which is the largest shear? L'chayr, this is much larger than Rebbe's shear. Why? Because mechti gavra bi'amsi yosef. As we know, a person, typically the average individual, fills up the space of 1 amma. Obviously, there are people with larger builds and people with smaller builds, but on average, we take the assumption that the average individual, he occupies 1 amma, which means 1 amma from his front to his back and from his right to his left, basically 1 amma. And therefore, kol sheyesh bekefei shloisha tvachim, yesh bei roichav tefach. If we're talking about that there are 24 people sitting around, what does that mean? It means that the hekif is the circumference. Roichav is the diameter. Let's just remember our geometry lessons. And that is that when you're trying to deal with the proportion of the diameter to the circumference, we use the term pi, pi. And pi, as we know, is a very, very long number, which starts with 3 and goes on to 3.14, etc., ad infinitum, another 1,000 or more digits after that. But for Gemara, for convenience sake, the Gemara always rounds it to the nearest whole number, which is 3. And so therefore, If you have the roich of a petefach, if you have a diameter which is 1, then the hekif, the circumference, would be 3. And for that matter, if the diameter, for instance, is 4, then the circumference would be 12. And what the Gemara is asking now is, the Gemara is assuming at this point that the side of a square would be the same as the length of the diameter, assuming that you took the square and placed it inside the circle. If you just go quickly to Ches Amud Aleph, you see the two pictures there. So the Gemara is assuming, let's take the top picture. Top picture, the outside is the square, and inside we have the circle. Now we know that the outside square is 4x4, according to Rebbe. That's the largest shear. So the Gemara is therefore assuming that the same thing applies to the diameter inside the circle. Because just like you have the four lines which are the square outside the circle, make your own one line and put it into the circle and make it either parallel to the right and the left walls, or make it parallel, make a horizontal line, and it will therefore be parallel to the upper and the lower walls. So just put a wall or put another line in the middle of the circle, from one end of the circle to the other, and that would be 4, just like the walls on the four sides are 4. So the diameter is 4, then the circumference of that circle is 3 times 4. If it's 3 times 4, 3 times 4 comes out to be 12. So ask the Gemara, why does Rabbi Yochanan insist on having 24 people sitting around and saying, oh, that's the shear of the sukkah? Really, you only need 12 people sitting around, because those 12 will represent 3 times the 4 diameter. That would be enough, according to Rebbe. The fact that Rabbi Yochanan requires 24, it sounds like that the hekif, the circumference, is 24, and therefore the diameter has to be 8, because again, the proportion is 3 to 1, that's pi rounded down. So where does Rabbi Yochanan get this from, that each wall has to be 8? That doesn't make sense. According to Rebbe, it only has to be 4. So says the Gemara, Hani mili bi'igula av biribua bayitvei. Oh, what does that mean? When do we say that it's a 3 to 1 proportion? That you start off with a diameter of 1, and then you have a circumference of 3. Or for that matter, in our Gemara you have a diameter of 4, and therefore the outside circumference would be 12. That's if you're talking about igula, that's when you're talking about circles. Al biribua, since we are talking about Rebbe, and Rebbe says that the minimum size of a sukkah has to be 4x4, al biribua by itvei, by a square, you need more. Now Rabbi said, we're not dealing with area, we're only dealing with circumference and with perimeters. And therefore the Gemara says that the perimeter of a square is much larger than the circumference of the circle if you're starting off with number 4. What do you mean? So once again, let's look at this picture that we're talking about. And in the picture you see you have the circle inside the square. It's obvious that although the sides of the square are 4x4, which means on all four sides, 4x4x4x4, the circle, if you put in a diameter of 4, the circumference is going to be less than that of the square, because look, the circle fits within the square. So by definition, the circumference is going to be less than the perimeter of the outside square. What is the difference in size between one and the other? Says the Gemara, Mechte, Kama Maruba Yoiser Ala Eagle Revia. How much is a square greater than that of a circle? 1/4. Bishitzer sagi, it should be enough with 16. What does the Gemara mean by that? So Rashi says, let's do things in a very, very simple manner. Let's take a chut. Chut means, let's go and take a string. And let's start again with our circle. And let's assume once again that the circle has a diameter of 4. All those of you that haven't had geometry recently, diameter just means drawing a line from one end of a circle to the other end of the circle, anywhere in the circle, because by definition the circle is uniform on all sides. We're not talking about an oval-shaped or an egg-shaped, we're talking about a perfect circle. So anywhere you want to draw a line from one end of the circle to the other end, that's called a diameter. And again, let's assume the diameter is 4, then the circumference means the circle, when you're going around the circle, that would be 12, because we said pi is equal to 3 when you round it down. So says Rashi, take a string and start at any point on the outside of the circle, and make sure you know exactly where you started, maybe have somebody hold on to the string, and then go around the circle all around until you make a full 360-degree circle, in other words, a 360-degree walk around the whole circle with your string. Now take the string and measure it, and you'll see that the string happens to be 12. Since your diameter was 4, now that you're walking around with the string and go around the entire circle, you'll get 12, because 3 times 4 is 12. So just keep that in mind, 12. Now let's go and take your square and do the same thing. Start at any point around the square and take a string and go and walk around. Now here, it's very, very simple. Since each side is 4, so the bottom will be 4 and the left will be 4 and the top is 4 and the right side is 4. So 4 times 4, obviously, is 16. So that same string, when you're going around the entire square, will be 16. So says the Gemara, how much larger is the perimeter of the square than the circumference of the circle? Okay, we just said now, this is 16, and this is 12. So the difference is a difference of 4. So you can look upon it as being that the perimeter is 1/3 larger, because 4 over 12 is 1/3, so therefore we added a third. How did we add a third? We added 4 more to the 12, and that got us to 16. That's one way of looking at it. The Gemara calls it a half. The reason why the Gemara calls it a half is because of the principle of Milbar Milagav, which means that the Gemara often doesn't look at where we started from, but looks at where we end up. And since we end up with the square being 16, and we started off with the circle being 12, the difference of 4 is a quarter of the 16. The new final number is 16, a quarter of 16 is 4. So if you look at 4 vis-a-vis where you started off 12, you added a third. If you look at 4 vis-a-vis 16, where you ended up, you've added a quarter. And that's why the Gemara says again on the second line, Mechti. Let's figure it out. Let's see. Kama meruba yoisa al igul. In our first picture, how much larger is the perimeter of the square than the circumference of the circle inside? Says Gemara Revia, it's a quarter, because a quarter of 16 is 4. So says Gemara, if that's the case, b'shitzer sagi. So then it should be enough to have 16 people sitting around, because we just said that the outer square, if you have 16 amois, and gavra bi amsa yosid, a person sits or occupies approximately one amma, so have 16 people sitting around, and then 16, that would get you to the same thing as the perimeter of the square, according to Rebbe, a 4x4. So says Yimura, how did Rebbe Yochanan get to 24? Everyone, how do you know the eagle, the nafik mi goy revua? Until now, we've been focusing on the upper circle, the upper diagram, the upper picture, where the circle is within the square. However, if we're talking about that the square is inside the circle, by its faith, then you need more. Because of the protruding corners. What does the Gemara mean to say? What the Gemara means to say is very simple. All very elementary. Let's go back to the top picture again. The top picture again has a picture of the circle inside the square. Remember, what Rabbi Yochanan is trying to accomplish is having the same amount of space I don't mean area, in this case we mean circumference, which would be akin to the perimeter of the sukkah when it's in a rectangular or square shape. So when you have a square shape of a sukkah, which according to Rebbe is 4x4, so now we're trying to figure out how could we do the same thing in a circular sukkah. So until now, we've been focusing on having the circle within the square. But the Gemara says, that's really a mistake. Because even though the picture is beautiful, that the circle really fills up the square very nicely, but remember, you have the four corners, which are empty. And since, according to Rebbe, the minimum size of the sukkah has to be the 4x4 square, and guess what? Your sukkah, which is the circular Rabbi Yochanan sukkah, inside the square, doesn't fully occupy that 4x4. It is smaller. How do you know that it's smaller? Because look at each of the corners where it's empty. The space in between the corner of the square and the end of the circle, in each case, you got four corners which are not part of the circle. That's what the Gemara calls Moshe the Karnisa, that the square protrudes beyond the, I would say, the four corners of the circle, but the circle doesn't have four corners. So the point is that the four corners of the outside square, they protrude and they are larger than the circle inside. So then you have to have now a larger circle to be able to encompass within it the 4x4 of the square. And that's why we have the picture immediately below, where we're starting off with Rebbe's 4x4 sukkah, and we want to build a circle that will have at least the amount of that 4x4. How do we do that? By drawing the circle exactly so that the circle overlaps with those four corners. And yes, there's additional space, but, you know, Rabbi Yochanan, nobody forced you to make a circular sukkah. If you don't want to have extra space, just narrow the sides of the circle at the top and the bottom and the right and the left, and guess what you're going to have? You won't have a circle anymore. You're going to have the square. But since Rabbi Yochanan, you want to make a circular sukkah, which is fine, only Achidim disagree, but Rabbi Yochanan holds that this is kosher. No, that being the case, how much additional amos will we need for the circumference of the circle to be able to encompass and enclose that four-sided square sukkah in between? So the square sukkah inside is 4x4, which by definition the perimeter is 16. What will be now the circumference of the outer circular sukkah, which is enclosing the entire square inside? So says Igmar. We're now six lines in. Mechti, kol amsa biribua, amsa utre chumshe ba'alach soina, b'shif sunechi chumshi sagya. This is all very, very simple arithmetic, Rabbi Isai. Since we have a square inside the circle, until now we've been speaking about the four sides of the square. Let's now speak about the diagonal in this square. Or if you can look upon this square as being two right angle triangles, where the two triangles have been merged into one to form a square. What you can do is draw an imaginary line, let's say from the upper left corner down towards the lower right corner. Just make a slanty line. Now you could look upon this as being two triangles together, and the bottom triangle, that slanty line, that diagonal, we're going to call the hypotenuse. Now, what is the size of that hypotenuse? That hypotenuse, by the way, is going to act as both a hypotenuse for the square and also the diameter for the circle. Because if we were to go and just the square lines that we have now inside the circle, that those are not a diameter because they don't fill up the entire circle from end to end. If we were to go and, for instance, draw an imaginary line downwards from the top of the circle, downwards till the bottom of the circle, obviously it's going to be longer than 4 because we have that additional space on top and the additional space on the bottom. And the same thing applies if you would make a horizontal line in the middle of the circle. You go from left to right or right to left. Again, it's going to be more than 4 because by definition, the space within the square is 4. But from the right-hand side of the circle to the left-hand side of the circle is obviously more than 4. That's the diameter. So how are we going to measure that diameter? So we're going to measure the diameter because we're going to take the alach sign. We're going to take the diagonal or the hypotenuse of the square. And the hypotenuse again will start from the upper left-hand corner, make a straight line to the bottom right-hand corner, which obviously is going to be longer than the 4 sides of the square. I hope people follow what I'm saying. If you don't, please, raise your hands or please say something, because for those that are familiar with geometry, all of this is pretty straightforward. Anyway, yes, Ed?
Not coming trigonometry, but that's okay.
Oh, it's trigonometry. Okay, I'm sorry. Trigonometry. Well, good. Good.
But anyway, but who's arguing? But I have another question. We just, before I said, if you want to go from a square to a circle, you take either a third or you take a quarter, depending on which direction you're looking.
Exactly.
Why don't you just take a third? Say add a third to it. A third of 16. The perimeter of the square inscribed in the circle is 16. You take a third of that, add it to the 16. And that should, you want to worry about Pythagorean theorem.
Which you were saying, it makes a lot of sense, except that it doesn't work out mathematically. Because if you go back to the second line of the Amud, the Gemara said, Mechti kama maruba yoisa le'igol revia. As you said correctly, how much is the square around the circle more than the circle? It's a quarter or a third, depending which way you look at it. But then the next line, Hani mil be igul to nothing migoy revua. But that's only in the case where the square is around the circle. But ribua de nothing migoy igula. If the circle is around the square, by yitzvah, you need more than that quarter or that third. Now you're wondering to yourself, well, how much more do I need? And that's the Gemara is going to tell us the mathematical equation. Like you were saying a moment ago, that's going to be used, we'll use but the Pythagorean theory, although the Gemara doesn't use it in so many words, but that's where the Gemara comes out in its answer. Let's take the Pythagorean theory, and what was that? That when you're dealing with a triangle, which is a right angle, you go and take a squared plus b squared equals c squared. Okay, so the Gemara says, how much is a squared plus b squared equals c squared? If you start off with the smallest amount, in other words, let's assume you have 1 is on the left-hand side, 1 on the bottom, and now the middle, the diagonal, is going to be your c squared, which means it's going to be 2. So a squared is 1, b squared is 2, c squared, I'm sorry, a squared is 1, b squared is 1, c squared is going to be 2. But that's the squared. We want to now go and take what number do you need to square to get to 2. Right, so again, a squared means you take 1 and you multiply it by 1, because that's a squared is 1. B squared, you took 1 and you multiply it by 1 and you got another 1. Now, the c squared means you take a number and you square it, you multiply it by itself and you get 2. What number do you need to multiply it by itself to get 2? And the answer is approximately 1.4. Because if you take 1.4 and you multiply by 1.4, 4 times the 14 above gets you to 56. 1 times the 14 above gets you to 14, or 140. So you have your 56, you have the 140, and therefore you get to 1.96. So 1.4 times 1.4, if you have your calculus with you, or even if your calculator with you, or if not, just try to do it in your head. 1.4 times 1.4 gets you to 1.96. So therefore, says the Gemara, for our purposes, if you started off with a square or with a right angle triangle, where the A was 1 and the B was 1, then the C will be 1.4. So that the A squared will be 1 and the B squared will be 1 and the C will be 1.4 times 1.4, which will be 1.96 or 2 for our purposes. Fine. That's all great. Now, that's if you're starting off with 1. Here, however, we're starting off according to Rebbe, where the square has 4 on each side. So now the two ways of doing this. We could just simply say, well, 4 times 4 is 4 times 1. And 4 is 4 times 1. So therefore we'll do 4 times 1.4. 4 times 1.4 gets you to 5.6, right? 4 times 4 is 16, you carry the 1, 4 times 1 is 4, plus 1, 5.6. That's one way of doing it. The more complicated way of doing it is, we're going to do again the a squared plus b squared. A squared is 4 times itself is 16. A squared, b squared is 4 times itself is 16. 16 plus 16 is 32. What is the square root of 32? Square root of 32 is, by definition, it's got to be somewhere between 5 and 6. Because 5 times 5 gets you to 25. 6 times 6 gets you to 36. So you see, 32 is closer to 36 than to 25. So in fact, it's going to be 5.6. Again, if you have your calculator, multiply 5.6 times 5.6, and you should come out to roughly 32. We're rounding up or down as necessary, but that's the cheshbon. So therefore, says the Gemara. Getting back to the Gemara now. Mechti. Mechti is where you have that little base there on the line. Mechti kol amsa beribua. Anytime that you have an amma on a square, amsa trechum sheb alach soina, then you have an amma plus 2/5. That means 1.4 in the diagonal, in the hypotenuse. Aha. Okay. So how much do we have now? Based on our cheshbon, the hypotenuse of this triangle is going to be 5.6. Okay. Now, since we established that the hypotenuse is identical to the diameter of the circle which is surrounding the square, so the diameter is also going to be 5.6. And since pi, we're saying, is rounding down 3, so 3 times 5.6, how much is 3 times 5.6? 3 times 6 is 18, you carry the 1. 3 times 5 is 15. 16.8. 3 times 5.6 is 16.8. So therefore, the entire circumference of the circle around the square is going to be 16.8 instead of the 16. That's what the Gemara calls Bishivser Nechi Chumshi Sagya. Really should be Nechi Chumsha Sagya, because 16.8 is the same thing as 17 minus a fifth, right? If you start off with 17, subtract a fifth is 0.2, you get to 16.8. So 16.8 Sagya. So once again, why does Rabbi Yochanan require 24 people to sit around, which means 24 amos? It's enough to have 16.8 people sitting around, or let's round it up to 17 people, or 18 people, but not 24 people. Everything more loy duck. You happen to be right, but Rabbi Yochanan was not being that precise in his mathematical calculations. He wasn't sure whether it's geometry or trigonometry, but regardless, he said 24, loy duck, you don't need more than 16.8 surrounding in the outer edges here of this circle. Thank you. 1 second. Come on. Give me a break. If you're talking about the difference between 16.8 and 17 or 18, okay, that's pretty close. But tuva mi amrinan, can you go and say he made a mistake or he wasn't careful between 16.8 and 24? Come on. 24 is so much more than 16.8. So therefore, mi amrinan loy duck. That's a very, very difficult thing to say, that Rabbi Yochanan was not being precise, and he was jumping all the way from 16.8 to 24. And therefore, says the Gemara, you got a good question on your hand, and we're going to have to start all again from the beginning. Amali Markashisha Breda of Chizal Ravashi. The whole basis of your question, the whole premise was that when you have 24 people sitting around in a circle, that means 24 amas. No! It's not 24 amas. Misabra, gavra b'amsi Yosef. Who says that a person, when he is standing or sitting, is occupying one amma? Tlosa gavri b'tarti amsi yasvi. People are smaller than you think, and therefore, three people can fit into two ammas. If three people are fitting into two ammas, that means that we are taking the 24 and we are lessening it by 1/3. Why by 1/3? Because until now we assumed that three people occupy three amos. Now I'm saying that three people occupy two amos. Okay, so by definition, I'm taking off 1/3. If I take off 1/3 of my 24, I get down to 18. I get down to 16. a third off of 24 is 8. 24 minus 8 gives you 16. Right? Everybody agrees? And it's also pretty straightforward. Because you have 24 people. Every three people occupy two. How many three people do you have in 24 people? You have 8 times 3 people in 24 people, right? You have 24 people altogether. Break them down into groups of 3. So you have one group of 3 and another group of 3 and another group of 3. How many groups of 3 do you have altogether? You have 8. And all of 3 people occupy 2 amos, according to what we're saying now. So if you have 8 groups of 3, and each 3 occupies 2 amos, fills 2 amos, so it's 8 times 2 is 16. So says the Gemara, how many we have now is Shitzer. So now we are now redrawing this circle according to Rabbi Yochanan. We're not talking about 24 people occupying 24 amos. We're talking about 24 people occupying 16 amos. Oh, 16 is very close to 16.8. Oh, that's pretty good. Pray Timur, but Anan Shivser Nechi Chumsha Be'inan. Didn't we say a moment ago that we need 16.8, not 16? And still not 16.8. So you might light up. Okay, that 0.8, big deal, it's less than a full number. So Rabbi Yochanan was just playing with full numbers, not with fractions. One second. Eimed Yomrin Leidak L'Chumra. If you have a Chumra as a result, then you can say Leidak. Ab L'Kulam Yomrin Leidak. If you need, for purposes of the minimum size of a sukkah, 16.8, don't tell me, Rabbi Yochanan, that 16 fills the bill. It doesn't. If you have a circular sukkah which is only 16 circumference, it's too small. It's got to be at least 16.8, Rabbi Yisai. So don't tell me that he's way duck. People are going to have to, oh, Rabbi Yochanan was the Godel Hadar. People are going to go like, it's going to go viral over the internet within 10 seconds, that Rabbi Yochanan said that all you need for purpose of a sukkah is to have a circumference of 16. It's not true. You have to have at least 16.8. So that doesn't work. Says Zigmar, you know, you're right. Forget about that. We start again. We go back to the original premise. Omli Ravasi Ravashi li oilam gavra ba'amsi yosef. No, we start off again that one person occupies one amma. And therefore, when we talk about 24 people, we're talking about 24 ammas. But if we have 24 ammas, didn't we say that all I need for purposes of the circumference of that bottom circle, which is encircling and surrounding the square, I only need 16.8. How do you get to 24? Says Yomar, Rabbi Yochanan mokim gavri loika choshev. Rabbi Yochanan is talking about having 24 people sit around. Where they are sitting is not necessary for the sukkah. What he means is the sukkah is within the circle that is now created by the 24 people sitting around the circle. In other words, we have a concept of concentric circles. You have larger circles, and within the circle you have a smaller circle. What the Gemara is saying is that the 24 people that are sitting around in a circle, if you were to build the sukkah doesn't have to land on them or on their heads. But rather the sukkah that we're building in a circular fashion will be within the circle created by these 24 people. Now, common sense tells you that take the sukkah out for a moment. What happens if you wanted to have now a new circle of people sitting around inside the circle that was created, the area that was created by the 24, right? You have the 24 people sitting in a circle, and now you want to go and have a new circle of people sitting inside the 24 people. If you try to go and squeeze in 24 people in the next circle, it's not going to work, because by definition, the area of the circle keeps on getting smaller and smaller as you go closer to the middle. So how many people would you have now in that inner circle? That's what Rabbi Yochanan is addressing. What Rabbi Yochanan is saying is that the number 24 is around from the outside of the sukkah. But the size of the sukkah itself does not begin with those 24. It begins where the 24 people end. For instance, at the stomach, or at their shoes, at their feet. In other words, if all the people sitting around, 24 people sitting on chairs, for instance, don't measure from the back of the individual, measure from his stomach, or measure from his knees. into to the opposite guy on the other side, go to his knees. So now the question is, how much is that? What is the diameter of that? So that's all, again, very logical and very straightforward. What the Gemara is going to tell us is that we started off with 24. Now, if you start off with 24, that's the circumference. What would be the diameter of such a circle of 24? The diameter would be 8, because we're always saying that pi, for our purposes, is 3, a proportion of 3. So if the sukkah, like we thought originally, like we said originally, is 24 amis, that is the circumference, the diameter from one end to the other would be 8. Good. Now we're going to reduce the 24, and we're trying to figure out how much are we going to reduce it by? And the answer is very simple. Since each individual occupies one amma, then we're going to cut out one person on the right side that's an amma, and we're going to cut out a person on the left side who is an amma. And the same thing is at the top, we're going to cut out an amma, and on the bottom, we're going to cut out an amma. And Ed is showing us pictures from the art scroll and probably explanations. Shkoyach Ed. So if you have those types of pictures, you know, please use them. Anyway, getting back to our Gemara, what our Gemara is telling us is, since each person occupies an amma, so I'm going to deduct one person on the right, and I'm going to deduct one person on the left. So if until now the diameter of this circle of 24 was 8, so now that I'm taking off an amma on the right and an amma on the left, then I'm going to be left with 6. So I'm going to have a diameter of 6 inside the inner circle. And of course, when you're taking a diameter of 6, then you're multiplying it again by 3, so that would be then 18. So then your circumference would be 18 in the middle of this circle. So, yes?
Are we talking about, is this a practicality where you'll have a group of people, let's say a group of men on the circumference, and then you'll have another group of men concentrically located? Is that a crowded circle? Is that really, that's a lot of people in a small, pretty small space.
No.
Is this, but then it's more solely a theoretical possibility.
No, all Rabbi Yochanan is trying to dramatize how you do this, how you figure this out. So instead of drawing taking a crayon or a chalk and drawing it on the floor and making a 24 amma circle, he says, just take 24 people and let them sit around one next to each other. And since each one is one amma, they have 24 ammas. And originally we thought, okay, so wherever they are sitting, count from their backs or measure from their backs, and therefore the size and the circumference of the sukkah has to be 24. What the Gemara is telling us now is, no, that Rabbi Yochanan meant to say, don't measure the circumference from their backs, measure it from their fronts. If you're measuring from the fronts, then you are deducting an amma on this side and an amma on this side. So instead of having 24 sitting around, what I'm going to have is, how many are we going to have sitting around now? It's going to be 18. 18 within the 24. Not that Rabbi Yochanan is saying, okay, do we have any volunteers? Please, come and sit. We're just trying to figure out how it would work in practical terms. As you remember, when we were kids, for some of us it's only a few years ago, for others it's many, many years ago, but in our arithmetic books, to make things a little bit easier, they would often go and give you examples. So, for instance, if you wanted to add 5 plus 5 to get to 10, they would say if you have 5 nickels and 5 dimes, you add them together, how many coins do you have? Oh, 5 coins and 5 coins is 10 coins. So, same thing over here. Instead of talking about ammas, Rabbi Yochanan is talking in people, but since each person occupies an amma, everybody understands 24 people means 24 ammas. So 24 ammas is the outside concentric circle, but immediately inside the concentric circle, we're going to have another circle, and that circle is going to be, according to Rabbi Yochanan, 18 in its circumference. Again, how did we get to 18? Because we have now a diameter of 6. We've deducted Yankel, who's sitting on the top, and Beryl, who's sitting on the bottom. So now we've taken off 2 ammas, or 2 people from our 24, since each one occupies 1 amma. Okay, so then now the middle, from where the knees, where Yankel is sitting, to the knees of where Beryl is sitting, is only going to be a length of 6 amas. Since it's 6 amas, the circumference of that circle is going to be 18 amas. And therefore what Rabbi Yochanan is telling us when he started off today's Gemara, that you want to figure out the minimum size of a sukkah, he really didn't mean 24, he really meant 18. The reason why he used 24 is to give you an idea that 24 is the number of people you need outside the sukkah, but once you put the sukkah down, then the inside of the sukkah will only require a circumference of 18. So the walls of the sukkah, of this nice, beautiful, conical, circular sukkah, you take your string, you're going to take the string around the entire circumference of that round sukkah, and you'll see that it adds up to 18. So now the Gemara asks the kasha once again. Omalei Rav Asi Rav Ashi, Li'olim, we're five lines from the bottom. Li'olim Gavra B'Amsi Yosef. Really, one person occupies an Am. Rav Yochanan Mokim Gavra L'Kachoshiv. And Rav Yochanan did not mean to say that the sukkah has to be 24, that we deem it as if the sukkah is measuring the backs of these 24 people. No, these people are sitting outside the sukkah. If they want to be Yotze, they better enter into the sukkah. So kama havaluhu. So how much area do you have now within, I don't really mean area, but how much of it would be the circumference of the new circle created by putting the sukkah smack in the middle of these 24 people? Kama havaluhu. Tam nisri. According to Rabbi Yochanan, it's 18. Because, once again, if you have the diameter of 6, multiplied by 3, that gets you to 18. So why did Rabbi Yochanan be machmer and say you need 18? After all, b'shifs in the chichom shesagya, you only need 16.8. Like we said before, that for purposes of the rectangle, Rabbi said you need 4 by 4, or the hypotenuse of the diagonal is going to be 5.6. 3 times 5.6 gets you to 16.8. So you only need a circumference of 16.8. Why would Rabbi Yochanan say start with 24 so that we're going to have a circumference of 18? That's what we meant all along when we said that Rabbi Yochanan was not medactic, precise to the inch, and he was just talking in large integers, large numbers. And here he's being machmir, because he's saying 16.8 is not enough. You have to get to 18. So you're thinking to yourself, yeah, but why do you have to say 18? 17 would have been enough. Well, the answer is, of course, if you're starting off with 24 people on the outside, 24 is a good number to deal with. If you want to land up with 16.8, then you have to start off with 23 people or 22 and a half people or something like that. So it's just more convenient for the numbers to do 24. But in truth, it's really more than that, because since pi is really not 3, it's really 3.14, and then go on for another infinite number of fractions. So 3.14 times our 5.6 will be much more than just 16.8. It'll, I'm sure, go above 17. I didn't take out my calculator, but if you want, you can do 3.14 times 5.6, and you're bound to come up with something more than 17. Once you come in more than 17, that's why Rabbi Yochanan rounded it up to 18 by saying, have 24 from the outside, you'll have 18 from the inside, and everything will be great. And that's basically where we end the calculations of Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara just goes off for a moment on the side by saying that Rabbanan de Kisri, the Amri Lord Dayani de Kisri, Amri, they had a different cheshbon. They started off, Igula de Nafik Migoy Rabua is river. Now this Igula de Nafik Migoy Rabua river, we already had at the top of the Amid. If you go back to the second line at the top, Mechti kama maruba yoisa ali eagle is rivua. And the Gemara said on the third line, Hani mili be eagle de nafik mi goy rivua. And that's what we're talking about over here. Eagle de nafik mi goy rivua. Which means that you have a square on the outside, you have a circle on the inside. What's the difference in perimeter versus the circumference? Riva a quarter. Like we said at the top of the Amud, that the perimeter of the 4x4 would be 16. And the circumference of the circle inside would be 4x3, which would be 12. And 16 compared to 12 is a difference of 4. And 4 is a quarter of 16, which, by the way, is a third of the 12, like we said at the beginning of the shir. So therefore, this part, Rabban Mikisri, are exactly the same as we said at the outset of today's shir. The second part, however, is troubling. Going to the Amid Beis, Rivua the Nafik Migoy Igula, if however you have a circle from the outside and a square from the inside, then Palga, then the difference is half. What means that the difference is half? What they're saying is that the inside, we said, is 16, 4 by 4. The circumference on the outside has to be a half more than that. What's a half of 16? 8. So you have to add another 8 to the 16 to get to 24. And therefore they're saying, Rivu denafi migoy igula, the difference between the outside circle and the inner square will be a difference of half. And that's why Rabbi Yochanan said 24. Says him, Avalahi. But that's not correct. That's not true. The kochazina loy havikulihai. You can see with your own eyes. Just look at the picture on the Omid Aleph. It's obvious that the outside circle is not 50% more than the inner square. That just doesn't work. And therefore, quote unquote, it's a mistake. What the Yoni Kisri said, it just doesn't work. Look at the Rashi on the fourth line. V'lav miltzihi, here on the Amud Beis, fourth line. You look at it with your own eyes, you see, that's not true. All the difference is between the outer circle and the inner square is that difference of the alachsoin being the diagonal or being the hypotenuse, shel meruba, of that square inside. And anytime that you have an amma on the side of your square, then then you're going to have a hypotenuse of 1.4, like we said before, the Pythagorean theory, that a squared plus b squared equals c squared. So if one side of the square is 4, then the middle is going to be 5.6. We're going to multiply 5.6 by 3, you'll get 16.8, or a little bit more. It's 3.14, fine, it's going to be 17. But the difference between 17 and the 16 is not much, Rabbi say. That answers your question, Brother Shai, that you were talking about earlier in the shir. Here, the perimeter of the inside square is only 16. The circumference of the circle around it is only 16.8. A little more, 17. But it's certainly not the difference of a quarter or a half or a third. It's just a abyssal. I'm sorry? Oh, that being the case, the Rabbanan de Kisri, or the Dionysus de Kisri, is a bissel shver how they got up to their 50%. So, on the surface, it looks like they just made a mathematical error. But that's very hard to say, because we're not talking about, you know, professors of today that sometimes don't know the difference between the right and the left. Sorry, I don't mean to be so critical. I'm sure there are many professors today who happen to be geniuses. But there's some professors today that go and sign on anti-Israel things and say they're guilty, chas v'shalom, of genocide and of killing babies, and they forget the fact that Hamas is the one that's attacking us and not that we're attacking them. But anyway, so much for today's politics. But getting back to our Gemara, it's crystal clear that it's not a half or a third more, it's just a little bit more, 16.8 compared to 16. So therefore, the choice is here on the right-hand side. I leave you for homework. He's trying to figure out how you could...
Last sentence, if you could back up.
Yes.
You went.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was making a political statement, so that part you don't need to hear.
No, after the political statement, that's when we started losing it.
Okay, good. So the bottom line is, how could it be that the Yoni de Kisri say that it's 50% more when with our eyes, we look at the picture, we see it's not 50% more. That's impossible. It just cannot be. And therefore, Rashi says, like the Gemara says, Vlad Milzi, it's Gunish, you know. It's not true. However, the top Toysvis, you see, you have a nice long Toysvis for homework, goes through all different types of geometrical, trigonometrical, algebraic calculations to try to synthesize and figure out where the Dioni de Kisri are coming from. And the Vilna Goyen also has a lengthy computation to figure out how they got to the 50%. Anyway, but that's not for purpose of our Gemara, that's for extracurricular activities. Go through all the calculations. The Sforum bring the Toysis. Well, you have the Toysis right here, and also the Vilna Goyen and others. Okay, from here we start a brand new sugya. We leave geometry, trigonometry, calculus, arithmetic, and we talk about much simpler concepts. Omer Ablegi Mishum Rameh. Shtei sukkos shel yoytzim zu lifnim mizu. You have two sukkos. Now the sukkah that we're referring to over here is not a real sukkah. We really mean two enclosures, one around the other, of yoytzim. Yoytzim are potters. Now potters during the summer is when they would go and manufacture their pottery. They had an inner booth or an inner room where they used to go and eat and sleep and drink and rest. And the outer room, which is the outer sukkah, that's that they used to actually do that was their workshop where they manufactured their pots. And that's where they would go and put them out for sale. The people would come into the outer room that would be their workshop / their store for people to go and purchase their manufactured goods. So said Reb Levi, Mishum Rameh, Shtei sukkah shel yoytzim zu lifnim mizu. One of the two sukkahs, one of the two rooms or enclosures is inside, and the other one is outside. Okay, so the hapanimius, the inner one, ain't a sukkah. You cannot use for a sukkah. V'chayevis b'mezuzah. In other words, when it comes sukkah's time, don't use that inner, quote-unquote, sukkah, the inner room for a sukkah. However, it does require a mezuzah throughout the year. What is the reason behind this? Explains Rashi. Because assuming that that room inside is made in the form of a hut or a shack that would qualify for a sukkah, not only the walls, but even the roof was made, for instance, with bamboo sticks or with other branches of a tree, so then it looks exactly like a sukkah throughout the year. And therefore Rashi says, according to Reb Levi Mishum Reb Meir, it wouldn't be nicker that the person is sitting in a sukkah. I mean, that's what the person's been doing throughout the summer. He's been living in this thatched hut, which has schach on top. So now when he continues using it now for sukkahs, it looks like he's just doing whatever he does throughout the year, or at least throughout the summer. And therefore, it's not nicker that this is l'shem sukkah. No good. Rashi uses the expression, if you look at the Rashi, pnimius ain't a sukkah, that Rashi is about a quarter down the Amud, then look in the middle of the Rashi where you see in the parentheses, daf tes. The next line says, t'lo minkara milta d'l'shem sukkah hu darboy. It doesn't look like a sukkah. D'kol yimoy seshana d'ayir hasem. He lives there throughout the year. I said throughout the summer, because you'll see why I said that in another couple of moments. But he lives there throughout the year, and therefore, v'rev tashmishoy, usudosoy, v'shinosoy sham. He sleeps there, he eats there, he rests there, he learns his daf there. That's where he's there most of the time. So go and say this is a sukkah. It's not a sukkah, that's his permanent residence. Not really permanent, we'll see in another moment. Anyway, that's why it's not a sukkah. I'm sorry, yes, Phil?
Does this have anything to do with it being a little circular? What if you had a standard rectangular sukkah, you just happen to live there all year long? Is that now no longer a sukkah?
Yeah, it's a very good question. We forget about the circle now. We're going back to regular, normal, rectangular or square sukkahs. And we're talking about that it has this inner sukkah that the Gemara calls is at least 4x4. No longer dealing with the circles and the 24 people and the Pythagorean theorem, 4x4. On the outside of that inner sanctum, that inner chamber, you have a larger room, which doesn't have to be circling it or enclosing it from all four sides. It could be just in the front, which is another 4x4 or 6x6 or 10x10 or whatever it was. So now the question is, instead of building a separate sukkah, since these are ramshackled huts anyway, can I use them for a sukkah the way they are? So the Gemara says, you cannot use the inner room, even though it has the dimensions of 4x4, and even though it has kosher schach on top, you cannot use that for a sukkah. Because, says Rashi, it's not minkra milta l'shem sukkah. Nobody can tell that it's a sukkah because a day before sukkahs and a day after sukkahs, he's going to continue living the same way, eating the same way, sleeping the same way in that same booth or that same enclosure. So it's not nikkur that he's doing l'shem sukkahs, and therefore, says Reb Levi Mishum Reb Meir, you're not yotze. But you have to put a mezuzah on because it's at least your temporary abode. It's your beisecha uvisherecha. That's where you live. So you got to put on a mezuzah. However, achitzoina, the front room, which you're using as the workshop and to sell your wares, to sell the pots and the pans, etc., oh, that you could use for a sukkah, because that would be nicker that is a sukkah, because you don't live in your workshop, you only work in your workshop. So now by going and putting down a table and chairs and a bed and eating and sleeping there for the next 7 days, he never does that. So therefore now it's nikar mishum sukkah, but it's p'turim min ha-mezuzah, it would be potter because it's not considered to be his bayis. Our Gemara assumes that for purposes of bayis, that means where you live, not where you work. Based simply on this Gemara, an office or workshop would not need a sukkah. Yes, we would not need a mezuzah. We are nohag to put mezuzahs up, but strictly speaking, based on this Gemara alone, it would be part of the mezuzah because it's not your bayis where you live. It's just a place where you work. Of course, nowadays there are some people who live more in their offices than they do at home. They're there for 20 hours and they're only at home for 4 hours. You get the idea. But in at least when we're talking normal people in normal times, the workshop was only a temporary place that wasn't his permanent place, and therefore you don't need a mezuzah, but you could use it as a sukkah. Frank Dimar Vamai. The Gemara is asking on the chitzoina sukkah. Vamai, why are you saying that the chitzoina is potter min ha-mezuzah? Tihav chitzoina kibay shar of the hapnimiyas that is chayav b'mezuzah. What's the Gemara mean to ask? What happens if you have your house, and you have a fancy house, and in front of your house you have a beis shar? That means for a guard, for a doorman, to sit in a booth, and he watches all the time who's coming and who's going, etc., etc. So now, does that beis shar require a mezuzah? Nobody sleeps in the beis shar, because it's the doorman or the security guard is standing there at all times watching and seeing people coming and going. But nevertheless, it's mechuyav b'mezuzah because it's considered to be like an adjunct, like the prisoner of the lobby before you get into the hall of the house. And the halacha is, says Rashi, based on Gemara Menachos, that even though it's potter min ha-Torah, it's chayav b'mezuzah midrabanan because it's an accessory to the house. It's the beginning of the house. Before you enter into the house, you have to go through this guard house, through this doorman's house, and therefore you put up a mezuzah midrabanan. So Frank Gemara, same thing should apply over here by the two sukkos, the two rooms, one next to each other. The front room is, if you will, like the beis shar to the back room. Because since he lives in the back room, so the front is like your beis shar. Why shouldn't it be mechuyav b'mezuzah as its status of a beis shar? Everyone mishum d'loy kaviyah. Like kaviyah means he doesn't live there permanently. But Rashi said before, he does. He sleeps there and he eats there all the time. So that's why I prefaced our Gemara by saying he doesn't really live there all the time. The article brings Rabbeinu Eliyakim, who is a Tana, and not a Tana, he was a Rishon, and Rabbeinu Eliyakim says what Rashi means, what the Gemara means, is that throughout the summer months, when it's nice and warm, there he put up these two sukkahs, these two types of huts, where he lives in the inside, and he works in the outside. But really and truly, that's not his permanent residence, because throughout the year, you probably get too cold if you lived in such a hut. But rather, he lived inside a normal house. See, even the internet one is not considered to be kaviyah sufficiently to warrant a mezuzah on the beis shar. It's true, it's sufficient bekviyas to require a mezuzah for itself, because during the summer months you live there, so you'd need a mezuzah. But the outside room wouldn't be elevated to the status of a beis shar that would require a mezuzah as the outer structure that precedes going into the inner chamber, the inner room inside. Good. Tana Rabbanan. The Gemara is going to bring now two brises. Brise number one, Tana Rabbanan, Ganbach. Ganbach is Rashi Tevos. And the Gemara tells us what the Rashi Tevos stand for. Sukkas Goyim, the Gimel is for Goyim. Sukkas Noshim, that's a Nun for Noshim. Sukkas Behema is the Beis. And Sukkas Kusim is the Chof at the end. So what is the status about all of these four sukkos? Even though these sukkahs were manufactured and put up for four groups that do not require a sukkah, they're all non-required to live in a sukkah. A goy doesn't have a din of a sukkah. Women are parted from a sukkah because it's a mitzvah saseh, shazman grama. Behemoths, of course, don't need a sukkah. And behemoths and sukkahs kusim, and we are assuming that this goes according to the Mandiyamar, either that they are geirei Aroyis and not Geri Emes. We're talking about the later generations when they were branded as full-fledged Goyim because they were Oyver Avodah Zarah on Har Gerizim. But says the Braisa, in all of these four cases, they are kosher, and not only these four, but also the Sukkah Mikol Mokoyim is also kosher. The other unnamed, anonymous Sukkah Mikol Mokoyim is also kosher. What is that Sukkah Mikol Mokoyim? The Gemara is going to address that in another few lines. But in the meantime, says the Braisa, but make sure, of course, you have proper schach. In other words, just because you have these huts that were manufactured for Goyim and Noshim and Behemoth and Kusim, they're not automatically kosher. You have to have kosher schach on top. And naturally, you have to have that they are 4x4. In other words, all the other rules and regulations that pertain to a sukkah. Frey Timora, what do you mean, Misuchachas kilchosa, my kilchosa? What it means to say is that when whoever put up these four huts for the Goyim, Noshim, Behemoth, and Kusim, and they put a ceiling on top, it's got to be that the reason why they put the ceiling on top was l'shem tzel, for the purposes of having shade. But not just that he put up a sukkah, a hut, and they just put all the pieces together. The ceiling has to be there specifically for purposes of shade. Then that has the status of schach for a kosher sukkah. So when you built it, you didn't have to build it lishma and say, I'm making l'shem sukkah. After all, a goy built it for himself. He wants to have a nice place to eat or drink or rest during the summer. That's why he built it. But the important thing is that the roof that he put on top of his hut, that he made it l'shem tzel, that's sufficient to brand it now a kosher sukkah. We're going to come back to this in a moment, but the braisa finished off, sukkah mikol mokum is also kosher. Frank Timor, sukkah mikol mokum, lasuya mai, what does this come to include? Lasuya sukkah's rakbash. It comes to include the rakbash sukkah. And again, this is again a Rosh Tevis, the Tana Rabbana we have in the braisa. What sukkah's rakbash? Sukkah's royim, a sukkah for shepherds. Sukkah's kaitzim or kayotzim. Kayotzim are the people working in the fields during the summer to leave the fruits out in the field so that they should dry, so that we should have nice sun-dried fruits. Sukkah's bergonin. Bergonin are shomrim. Those are security people to make sure to prevent either animals or thieves from stealing any of the fruit. And the fourth one is sukkah shomri peiros. Those are the ones that are watching over the peiros, presumably either when they're still lying in the field or after you collected them from the field and you put them together in a stack, then they would watch them. So they also had these sukkahs. Again, these sukkahs were not meant for chagas sukkahs, but they're also kosher. Continues the braisa. And the same thing applies to sukkah mikol mokoyim. That's also kosher. We use the same expression as the previous braisa, that the sukkah mikol mokoyim is kosher. And again, the braisa ends up, make sure that the schach is kihalacha. What do you mean? Again, that when you put up the ceiling on top, it wasn't just that you put it on top because it's part of the package deal, but you did it because l'shem tzel, that it should afford shade to the people inside these four sukkahs. Zok Yimara, sukkah mikol mokum lasuya mai, what does the sukkah mikol mokum come to include? Lasuya sukkahs ganbach, to include the four sukkahs of the first braisa. So therefore I have two braises, which are parallel braises. The first braise is talking about the Ganbach, the Goyim, Noshim, Behema, and Kusim. And when it says Sukkah Mikol Mokum, that comes to include the Rakbash Sukkis. And the second braise, the Sukkis of the Rakbash, of the Royim, the Kaitzim, the Burgonim, and the Shemir Peiros, the Sukkah Mikol Mokum comes to include the Ganbach Sukkis. So Frey Timora, why does the first braise refer to the Rakbash as Sukkah Mikol Mokum? The Mikol Mokum gives the sense that it's a little bit inferior. We're not going to even mention the specific names. You know, those other sukkahs, the Mikol Mokum sukkahs, are also kosher. And yet the second braisa does the same thing in return. It's a mutual admiration society. When the second braisa says about the Ganbach sukkahs, those are the Mikol Mokum, those are the somewhat second-class sukkahs. So, Frank Yimara, why is that? Hai tana de Ganbach alima le Ganbach. He likes to talk about those four expressly and explicitly, and he says, I'm talking about the Goyim, the Noshim, the Behemoth, and the Kusim, Mishum the Kvi, because those are more of a Kvius, more of a Kvius, that apparently those are used more during the year. Masha'enke, the other four are just used as very temporary structures for the summer months. And therefore, since those are Kvi, he likes to talk about those four as being real structures, and also those other, you know, those little huts and shacks that they put up during the summer. The katan mikomokum lasir rakbash toloi kvi. They're not as kavua as the ganbach, the goy or the noshim or the behemis or the kusim. They might have these sukkahs as additional structures, you know, like a shed that you put away storage in your backyard or something. So we're talking about something larger than that a person could use. But the point is, it's a permanent structure, even though it's a secondary structure. It's not a full-fledged residence, but it's also a temporary residence. You could have a warm day during the winter that your person would go out there and have a picnic or enjoy lunch or something like that. So, says the Gemara, the Ganbach are more kavua, while the Rakbash, Royim, Kayotzim, Burgonin, and Shemir Peiros, still those are all summer things. The Royim that are going with their animals, and the Kayotzim that are dealing with the dried out fruits, and the Burgonin, the purpose would be the security that's watching the fruits that they shouldn't get stolen or they shouldn't be eaten up. Shemir Peiros, those that are watching the fruits after they've been picked or collected or whatever. So those are all loikavi. So that's why he calls them the Mikom Mokoin Sukkis. On the other hand, the second price, Vaitana de Rakbash, Ali Malay Rakbash, he likes the Rakbash is better than the Ganbach, to Bnei Chiyuvininu, because all four of those categories, the Royim, Kayotzim, Burgonin, and the Shemir Peiros, all of them could be Jews that are Mechuyim B'Sukkah. And that's why they want to convert these temporary Rakbash Sukkahs into permanent Sukkahs. Not permanent, but mean for the purpose of Chagas Sukkahs. Ah, since these are Bnei Chiyuvininu, Masha'en came, the Ganbach Sukkahs are people that are not Mechuyiv, the Goyim, the women, the Behemoths, and the Kusim. That's why the Tana Mikol Mokim Lasuy Ganbach the La Bnei Chiyuvininu. So therefore, bottom line is both the Ganbach Sukkahs are kosher and the Rakbash Sukkahs are kosher. Depending whether you're a Ganbach person, you look down a little bit on the Rakbashes because those are not real Kviyas. Those are very, very flimsy structures. And if you happen to be a Rakbash person, you look down on the Ganbach Sukkahs because you say those are Sukkahs that were built by non-Bnei Chiyuvim. Based on our Gemara alone, one should be able to go before Sukkahs and have a Goy go and build the sukkah for you. And many people do that because many people are busy at work and building a sukkah is very heavy and difficult. So they ask their super, their employee, or whatever, please go and put up the sukkah and then put up the schach. And as you probably know, the minhag is that if the goy put the schach on top, that a Jew should at least shokel the schach. L'chatchil would be better if the Jew puts all the schach on. But if he didn't, at least the Jew should go and shokel the schach afterwards. Mi'ikr ha-din in Shulchan Aruch, this is not required based on our Gemara, because our Gemara says, Ganbach is a kosher sukkah. And the goy, when he put up the sukkah, he put up the whole thing, the outside structure and the schach. However, it's brought in the Mishnah Brura and the Magen Avraham and the other poskim that we're machmir keshitas Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam is a toisvis in Mesechtas Gittin. It's either Mem Hei or Mem Ches Amid Beis. And that toisvis says over there that any time you have a mitzvah, you should not manufacture it through a person who's a lav bar chiyuva. It should only be produced by a person who's a bar chiyuva. And since the ikr of the sukkah is the schach, not the walls, that's why we're machmir, like the Shitas Rabbeinu Tam, that one should go and either put the schach on yourself, or have a yid shokel the schach after the goy put it on previously. And with that, we concluded today's Gemara. Any questions, Rabbi Sai?
Shkaya, thank you.
Baruchim to you. Mitchell will continue tomorrow morning. Rabbi Sai, as you know, Sunday is Tisha B'Av, so there will not be a daf shiur on Tisha B'Av. But we have to make up for the shir because we don't have a recorded shir. So Barry is going to be kind enough in Yitzchak tomorrow to send around the Shabbos shir recorded. Don't listen to recording on Shabbos, Chas V'Shalom, of course. But what do we do about Sunday? Because we don't have a recorded shir for Sunday. So Yitzchak, Monday morning, we're going to learn the Sunday daf. And Yitzchak, Monday evening, We're going to set up a shir probably for something like 7 or 7:30 in the evening. We'll see. Mitzvah for the Monday shir. So by the time we got to Tuesday, Mitzvah will be back on schedule again. So we'll make up for the Sunday by having two shiurim on Monday. Okay?